It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to Fresh Oil. I'm Keith Manley, your host for the program today. It's just so good to have this opportunity to share with you the good news of the gospel of God's grace. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17, a verse I always love to share. We spoke about this just a few days ago on Fresh Oil, but I want to share with you a little deeper on this subject. Paul is praying this prayer for the Ephesians, and he said, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." Every day on this program, you usually hear me end the show by saying, God loves you unconditionally. And today I want to talk to you about that unconditional love of God. Paul said, I'm praying that you can grasp how wide, how deep, how long is this love of Christ, and to know it surpasses knowledge. When I began to understand God's unconditional love, it changed my life. You see, friend, the love that we know here on this earth is usually wrapped in conditions. I love you because, I love you in spite of, or whatever it is, it usually has a condition attached to it, but not the love of God. He loves you not because it's something he does. He loves you because it's his nature. It's who he is. God is love. In Psalm chapter 36, the psalmist David says this. He says, "Your love, O Lord, it reaches to the heavens." David is overwhelmed when he thinks, how great is the love of God? The very heart of the gospel is that God loved you so much that he sent his son to give his life as a sacrifice for every wrong thing you would ever do. And then God chose to forgive us. That's the height of God's love. It reaches to the heavens. I believe one of the jobs and objectives of the devil is to convince us that we've gone beyond the love of God. You see, the Apostle Paul is trying to tell us here in this prayer to the Ephesians that the love of God was more than he could imagine. It was really beyond his comprehension. The German poet Friedrich Lehmann wrote a poem called The Love of God. Listen to these lyrics. "Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky." Are you getting a picture of the unmeasurable, unconditional, unfathomable love of God? See, John wrote in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16, he says, "And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love," John says. "Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will all have confidence on the day of judgment." You see, friend, God is love. And the only way we can love each other or love another human being is when we have God's love in us. And he enables us to love others. I love because he first love me. I think so many times love can be so hard to define, and probably the greatest definition of love would have to be what the Apostle Paul said. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, "Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It's not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but it rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And listen to verse 8, love never fails. How do we measure love? I think so many times we try to measure love by our words, or maybe our actions, what we do for another person. But really, friend, the greatest measuring stick of love has to be John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved this world so much that he what? Gave. He gave the greatest gift that could ever be received, his Son, as a sacrifice for my sin. We were the object of God's love. God so loved the world. That's you and I, friend. You know, around 400 years ago, the Emperor of India lost his wife, and he decided, as a tribute to her, he would build a memorial. He built her a tomb, and 20,000 workers labored for more than 20 years to build this building in marble and precious stones. And he erected this beautiful building, probably the most gorgeous building in the world, called the Taj Mahal. And it still stands today as a testimony of his love for his wife that he lost. But listen, it pales in comparison to the love of God. The psalmist said in Psalm 86 in verse 15, "But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness." You don't ever have to worry about God running out of love. He abounds in love. Jesus told his disciples in John 15, verse 9 and 10, he said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love." And then he took it a step further in verse 12. He said, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for a friend." Wow. Jesus gave us the greatest example of love that was ever experienced in this life. And that was he laid down his life for us, showing us God's love. The Bible says, "But God commendeth his love towards us, in while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul said, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you've been saved." I'm so glad that God didn't wait for us to get good enough for him to love us. No, the Bible tells us that when we were dead in our transgressions, that's when he loved us and that's when he saved us. He loved me when I was at my worst. We're talking today on Fresh Oil about God's unconditional love. He gives us this love that doesn't have strings attached. He gives us this love that's in spite of our performance. Paul talked about love in Romans chapter 12. As he's writing to the Romans, he said, "Love must be sincere." Now, it's interesting because that word sincere originates from a Latin word, sincera, and it means without wax. In Bible days, they had these big columns the Romans would make, and when they would crack and when they would chip, they would put wax on them to cover up the defects. They would have a statue that perhaps was missing a nose or some piece fell off. Well, they would cover it with wax, and it would look as good as new. But notice what Paul says. He says, love must be without wax. Don't cover up. Don't paint a pretty picture. When God chose to give us the New Testament, this new covenant, and he was going to reveal his love, they didn't use the other words that were there for love. God had to bring a brand new word in. It's the word agape, the God kind of love. So when Paul prayed this prayer for the Ephesians, and he says, "I just pray that you would have the wisdom to grasp just how wide, how deep, how great is the love of God." I believe today, friend, When you begin to grasp and conceive of the thought that God loved you so much, He was willing to sacrifice His only Son for your sins, it changes your life. God's amazing love has made such a difference in my life. In this world, we can have some bad examples of love. Perhaps you've been hurt in your life. Maybe someone walked away from you or said, "Hey, I don't love you." But I want you to know something today. God's love is perfect love. And the Bible says, perfect love, it casts out all fear. You know, sometimes when I tell people that God loves them, they have a hard time with it because of all the bad things that have happened in their life. Friend, but that's not God's fault. We live in a fallen world. We live in a world where we have an adversary, the devil. The Bible says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Those are the words of Jesus. Jesus didn't come to hurt you or to harm you. As a matter of fact, Jeremiah said, "I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. They're plans to prosper you and plans to give you a hope and a future." Friend, don't let all the bad things that are happening in this world and in your life cause you to ever doubt the love of God. He loved you so much that He sent His Son to die on the cross. Greater love hath no man than he lays down his life for a friend. Do you remember King David in the Bible? Before he became king, he was best friends with King Saul's son, Jonathan. And David made Jonathan a promise that when he became king, he would show his kindness to Jonathan's family. Sure enough, Jonathan is killed in battle, and David ascends to the throne of Israel. And in 2 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 1, David says, "Is there anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now, the normal procedure for a king when he ascended to the throne was to eliminate all of the prior king's family. That way, he would eliminate any competition where someone would rise up against him. But this was not the case. You know why? Because of love. So when David asked them, "Is there anybody that I can show kindness to for Jonathan's sake?" they tell him about Jonathan's crippled son named Mephibosheth. Now look what the Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 5. "Then King David sent and brought him," Mephibosheth, "from the house of Machir, the son of Amiel at Lo-debar. And Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and paid homage. And David said, 'Mephibosheth.' And he answered, 'Behold, I am your servant.' And David said to him, 'Do not fear, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. And I will restore to you all the land of Saul your father, and you shall eat at my table always.' And he paid homage and said, 'What is your servant that you should show regard for a dead dog such as I?'" I got to tell you that Mephibosheth did not have a lot of self-confidence. He had a pretty low self-image. King David sought him out because of his love for Jonathan. Do you know, friend, God sought you out? He sought you out, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God gave us the ability to sit at His table, to be grafted into His family, all because of love. Christ loved you. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Now remember the prayer we opened with that Paul prayed for the Ephesians. "I pray that you may have the power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God."
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He makes His mercies new every morning.